Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is presented by David Lowen Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM.
Yes!
Oh, it is.
It is.
The 9 o'clock hour, my friends, of the Alex Dono Show here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM. We are streaming online at WQAM.com or via your smartphone at the TuneIn Radio app or the Radio.com app. However you listen, we appreciate your patronage here tonight. If you'd like to get in and share your infinite wisdom with us via the phone lines, get at us at 305-567-0560, 954-567-0560, #560 on your cell, or you can text us at 56022 on the plumbers911.com text line. But please don't text and drive. We'll hear more from Miami Dolphins head coach Adam Gase in a moment. Texter writes in, after the Gase press conference today, he is obviously alluding to a few certain players on offense as bad players. Who does he speak of exactly? It's tough. He could be speaking of a number of guys on the offensive line, but I don't believe you have enough depth there just to start cutting people willy-nilly the way you could do last year with Dallas Thomas and Billy Turner. You know, Damian Williams played a poor game. I don't believe they're just going to cut the guy. You know, obviously you've struggled just to get Devontae Parker on the field. You're not cutting him. It's like, it's tough. Yeah, I know that he spoke tough today. He said, oh, guys have to do their jobs or we'll find somebody who will. But, man, it's like you have 90% of that offense not doing their jobs at the moment. Another texter writes in, a college football website showed images of North Carolina players doing our proud U upside down after their win last year. Google it, Alex. Well, no, I remember it, and I can remember over the last couple of years, guys like former Tar Heels quarterback Marquise Williams, receiver Ryan Switzer, disrespecting the U like that. You know, when they were beating Miami, they beat Miami the last two seasons. I think you do get some license to talk a little trash. So I don't really care, and I know that they're going to use this as bulletin board material. I guarantee you that throughout the week this week, as Mark Richt is trying to remind his players, we cannot look past any opponent. We cannot take any opponent lightly. I don't care that we have Virginia Tech in a week and Notre Dame in 2 weeks. We cannot look past North Carolina, bad as they may be. I think part of what you do to keep your guys motivated are you show them those images of North Carolina players disrespecting your icon, disrespecting the U, to remind them, hey, these are guys who rubbed it in your faces over the last couple of years. Let's obliterate them this year. You know, they're down 16 scholarship players out for the season. They weren't good to begin with because they lost all their good offensive players to the NFL or to graduation last year. Mitchell Trubisky is not running through that tunnel this year. Mitch, as he used to be called when he was a college player. They, yeah, of course, were supposed to beat these guys. We're supposed to throw out all these guys. Let's kick their asses. Let's not show any mercy. Right? Because to me, the only true vengeance can be had on the field. I'd be a hypocrite if I said, oh, I've got such a huge problem with North Carolina doing the U symbol upside down. That's the kind of swag I think you earn when you beat a team on the field. You beat Miami on the field, you earn the right to brag and mock them a little bit. It's what the Canes used to do to people, 80s and 90s. Now, I do also appreciate respect and humility, like when Mark Richt ran out and disrupted his players when they beat Florida State and they were, you know, pantomiming, digging the grave on the Florida State symbol. I was totally fine with Mark Richt coming out and saying, guys, don't do that, show some respect. But in the same token, you trash a team a little bit, you mock a team after kicking their asses. I think you earn that right. And I want to see the Hurricanes. The only true vengeance comes on the field. And if you've got a problem with the way North Carolina handled themselves in victory over the last two seasons over you, the only real payback Miami can get is by going out to their field, Keenan Stadium in Chapel Hill, and showing no mercy. And, you know, Miami is about a 20.5-point favorite in this game. I think this is when they finally do cover. right? I know that they didn't finish the Syracuse game the way you would have liked. You had a lull there. Syracuse had a rally. The Georgia Tech game was a lot more difficult than you would hope for. Florida State game, same thing. With all the problems North Carolina is having and with the motivation, and I do believe the Hurricanes are motivated to beat these guys, I think you're finally going to see a comfortable victory tomorrow night for the University of Miami. And I appreciate what Mark Richt had to say during his weekly press conference on Tuesday that, you know, a reporter asked him, which is, you know, a fair question, right? That you guys have, you know, essentially the Coastal Division title game with Virginia Tech coming up next week and Notre Dame comes to town. How do you keep your guys from looking past North Carolina? Where Mark Richt says, you know what? It's not like we're dominating teams. It's not like we're cruising against teams. It's not like we're winning games by 4 or 5 touchdowns. We're not obliterating teams. We're a team that shows perseverance and heart, and we execute when it matters most. We execute in the clutch, but we're winning a lot of close games. We don't have the luxury of overlooking anybody, right? I mean, if Miami was a juggernaut, they would have blown out Florida State. They would have certainly blown out Georgia Tech and Syracuse. You wouldn't be having the types of conversations. And I give Miami credit because what they're doing in the fourth quarters of these recent games, I don't believe that under Al Golden and Brad Kaya, you'd be getting the same sort of fourth quarter comebacks you're getting with Mark Richt and Malik Rozier. I think this team has character. They have character and heart under Mark Richt that they did not have under the previous head coach. That's saying a lot, but they don't have the depth to be blowing teams out the way that that the Alabama Crimson Tides of the world do. So you don't have the luxury of looking beyond any team. You don't. Nostradano got to go defending FSU, a texter writes. What if you're defending Florida State? I got no problem showing some respect after a victory. It's fine. Not defending Florida State. Florida State, they're down 14-0 to Boston College right now, so we have that to be excited about.
About to be 21-0.
Yes, we have that to be excited about, my friends. Always take pleasure in a Florida State loss. Not as much pleasure as I take in a Gators loss, but I do take pleasure in a Florida State loss.
Whoa, what you got against the Gators over here, man?
Any old school Canes fan has more beef for the Gators than they do with Florida State. Because the Gators, they talk, their fans are more arrogant, and they are the ones that took you off the schedule.
I mean, when you're that great, you don't need to challenge a not-so-good team like that.
Yeah, great. You really talking that when your coach is more concerned with cozying up with Sharks than he is making a team play better?
Hey, man, he has death threats coming after him right now. He has a lot of other things to worry about than football.
He does have plenty. He does have plenty of things to worry about. Let's talk with Dolphin Mitch. You're on QAM. What's up, Dolphin Mitch?
Dono, number one, I just want you to count me in as one of these Gator haters, these old school Canes.
I appreciate that, man. You're talking to the right crowd right now.
Hey, listen, man, this goes back before they took the Canes off the schedule. They only did that because the Canes were whipping their asses every
year.
That's
right, and they didn't want that punishment anymore. No, they got they scared. They took the easy way out.
Yeah, but the truth is, I hated the Gators ever since I was a kid. It was long before they took us off the schedule. It was because of that infamous Gator flop.
The Gator flop, that's right.
Dude, that's what made me hate them when I was a kid. And they did it just to get that stinking quarterback some kind of passing record. You know what? I hated them ever since then. Anyway, second thing, want to congratulate the Florida Panthers rookie on scoring his first goal. Hope to see many more of them. Kid looks like he's going to be a stud. And number three, on to my rant. Dono, I got to tell you, you know, what happened last night when the wheels completely fell off the wagon for the Finns, I predicted this. I did. I predicted it months ago because they did absolutely zero to upgrade the offensive line in the offseason.
I should have known. You were right. I was wrong.
Zero. Now, they thought they could get away with another year of Pouncey and Bushrod and throwing in Steen or Ted Larson, and then he got hurt, and then you're stuck with Steen, and then Steen gets hurt, and you're stuck with that Jesse Davis guy. You know what? Pouncey can't play anymore. He's done. When you have a center who has two bad hips, he's done. The center spends the entire game hunched over with his weight and his strength coming from his hips. How many times did you see Pouncey getting blown off the ball last night by their nose tackle?
Right.
I saw him on at least 5 plays getting shoved 4 yards into the backfield. And you know what? I'm sick of it. Pouncey needs to go. I love the guy. He's got a lot of heart, a lot of grit, and he was great when he was a player. The guy can't play no more. I'm done with it. Bushrod, he is about a year past the when the Dolphins should have gotten rid of him.
You're right. I mean, he played okay last year. Maybe he had talked about maybe retiring. Maybe he should have.
And you know what? Okay, at right guard, at his age, means that he's not going to continue to play well. And he got worse as the season went on. You remember the Pittsburgh game in the playoffs?
Yeah.
Pittsburgh, especially Lawrence Timmons, blitzing him, exposed him last year in the playoffs. You saw this coming. And this steam, oh, my God. Is there a more flat-footed offensive lineman in pass protection than Anthony Steen? I'm getting tired of watching defensive tackles run around this guy. Yeah, are you kidding me
it's
right
really
now?
Bad.
Jesse Davis, he's not an NFL offensive lineman. He's playing in the NFL, but he's not a starting caliber lineman. I wouldn't even trust him as a backup.
He might have been better the reps that he played on the defensive line. He might be better at that than he is offensive line.
Well, and you know what? I don't put this on. I know the defense gave up 160-something yards last night on the ground. I don't put this on them.
No.
You know why? Because they were on the field for what, 40-something minutes last night?
Yep.
The offense couldn't sustain a drive. They ran, what, five plays in Baltimore territory all night? Are you kidding me?
And they didn't get into the red zone one time. Not one trip to the red zone last night.
Exactly. And then, you have the Matt Moore fans. All of you Dolphin fans out there who were sitting there running your socks about Matt Moore, talking about what have I heard? Oh, he's
savior.
The straw that stirs the drink. He's the energy guy. He's like the Energizer Bunny. He energizes everything. He provides that spark. Shut the hell up with that nonsense. If you guys think that this what happened last night was a shock for Adam Gase, you are sorely mistaken. What happened last night, Adam Gase has been watching for the last year and a half in practice. That's why he went out and signed Jay Cutler to begin with. He knew this was going to happen with Matt Moore because he knows who Matt Moore is. The entire freaking NFL knows who Matt Moore is. And why? Because nobody has offered this guy a starting position in the 10 years he's been in the league.
And he knows it. It's why he loves being a backup. It's why Matt Moore loves being the Dolphins' understudy. And he's a damn good backup. I have no beef with him in that, but even Matt Moore knows he's a backup.
You put him in as a spot situational thing, and when your starter goes down, and if he's got to play a game, okay, fine. But you sure as hell don't roll into the season with him as your designated starter, and you sure as hell shouldn't have an entire fan base in the stadium cheering when the starting quarterback Jay Cutler gets hurt.
Yeah.
Shouldn't have them cheering and chanting, "We want more, we want more." You guys sounded pathetic. You sounded like a bunch of freaking crayon eating, short bus riding retards.
Wow.
And I'm going to tell you right now, all of you are exposed for not knowing squat about football.
Man, this guy's fired.
Matt Moore is a gunslinger with a freaking BB gun arm. You guys don't know crap. You think, now I'm seeing these idiots. These jackasses out there in the interwebs calling for Adam Gase to get fired?
Oh, man. Let me let you run on that note because I got a couple things I got to say. I appreciate the call. Okay, let me say this. I think Adam Gase is learning a lesson with this offensive line that is going to stay with him for the rest of his coaching career. And I hope this doesn't end up being like a Bill Belichick type of situation where it doesn't work out for him here, like it didn't work out for Belichick in Cleveland, then he ends up being the savior somewhere else. But there is a bit of arrogance that Adam Gase is learning this year because he has been of the mind since he got here. Adam Gase has been on record in saying that he thought it was ridiculous how much Dolphin fans and analysts, media guys complain about the guard play because he had so much faith in his play calling and his system. He thought, I can have any journeyman, offensive lineman, any underpriced value guy, I can plug anybody in at guard, whether it's Jermon Bushrod or Ted Larson or Steen or Davis or Brendel, I can plug anybody in at guard. Well, he probably thought last year that Dallas Thomas or Billy Turner or Jameel Douglas could play. I can plug anybody in at guard, and my offense is still a well-oiled machine because I can scheme around mediocre or worse guard play. He had so much confidence or arrogance in his system, he didn't think guards were important. No doubt that he thought tackles and centers important, but I think he thought he could scheme around any guard. But welcome to Miami Dolphins football now, where guard play has been costing this team wins for decades, for years. And Gase thought, that's not going to be a problem for me, not for my offense, not for my system. Guards will not be an issue here. Guess what? The reality he's had to face now, head coaching this Dolphin team, and it's not only on the guards. I'm not going to say it's, you plug in two Pro Bowl guards, problem solved, but guards continue to be one of the two or three biggest problems on this football team, and I think Gase is now learning a lesson. I can't just plug in any journeyman Joe at guard and expect to be a playoff team or a playoff winning team. I can't win a wild card game. I can't get in there with just any old guard. I think he's learning that lesson in a big way this year. And he also plugged in the ex-Bronco tight end who's not been good in 3 years in Julius Thomas. That's been a problem as well. The Alex Dono Show continues. We'll get a couple of picks from Money Mike. I hope he does better than he did 2 weeks ago. The Alex Dono Show continues next here on WQAM at the Milam's Market in Coconut Grove tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. for pregame. It's going to be a lot of fun tomorrow. Get set for what I think is going to be a comfortable Canes victory after they put my heart through the wood chipper over the last few weeks, winning some close games. But I think tomorrow will be better. No Dolphins football to worry about this weekend. They got their 40-0 loss out of the way last night, which was not fun for any of us. And Mike Dixon here, he's a big Dolphin fan. He's our man in Vegas. He's our man about Vegas. And, ironically, so 2 weeks ago, Mike had a rough week picking games with us, went 0-2. But then last week, when he wasn't on the air, he did send me his picks. He went 3-0. Mike, are you going to rebound this week from the 0-2 a couple weeks back?
Right on. I'm looking for the sweep again this week. And I think we're going to get it because the action is in favor of the bettors this week. I was speaking with an inside source at one of the Vegas bookers. So when you guys are ready, let me know. I got some hot picks for you guys.
Well, first, you got to tell me, what the hell happened to the Dolphins last night, Mike?
Oh, man. First of all, they just didn't show up. They were getting ready for Halloween, I guess. They tricked us and thinking they were a good team, beating the Jets coming back, down 14 to 16 points, and then they show up in Baltimore and don't show up at all. And ironically, I was surprised that there were so many Dolphins supporters inside of the Vegas casinos. Everybody's like, come on, get a touchdown. Come on, score some points. And then the live in-play action, where they actually had a point total set at 33.5 after the first half, I think, okay, I guess they're going to give the Dolphins a touchdown here. Well, guess what? We got nothing. 40-0. So I just thought that was terrible. I don't know what happened to this team. It's Jekyll and Hyde right now. And you can't rely on this team when you go bet on them because they're streaky right now. So that's something I have to keep my eye on with the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, I'd probably stay away from them for a little while till we figure out if they actually have an identity. But so 9:30 a.m. on Sunday, this is a London game, and I don't know why they would send a team like the Cleveland Browns overseas. That doesn't seem like a nice thing to do. But Browns 0-7, Vikings 5-2. Vikings are -9.5. Who do you like in that one?
Well, I do like the Minnesota Vikings because right now they're ranked 12th in total offense and actually putting up about 356 yards per game. And earlier today, I was going down the injury report, and I was looking for the star players to be questionable or doubtful. And then around 4:19 Pacific time, they officially ruled Myles Garrett out with a concussion. And then, oh, by the way, guess who's out? Their best player, their left tackle. They got some guy that's going to have to go up against Everett Griffin. So that point total is set at 38. The Vikings defensive line and front seven, they're actually headhunters. So I'm going to roll with the Minnesota Vikings to cover with that 9.5. And I feel sorry for all the NFL fans in London because it's going to be a very, very boring game.
They seem to get that a lot over there in London. They seem to get that way too much. What about, and I'm obviously hoping that this team falls, what about the New England Patriots at home -7 against I was about to say San Diego. Excuse me, the Los Angeles Chargers.
Ah, man, I can't go against consistency and recent trends. The Patriots, obviously the favorite by 7 points, and they set that point total at 48.5. The Chargers, they're not a good road team, especially going to the East Coast. So, again, you look for consistency. Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, with the worst defense, but they have the number one offense. We're actually averaging about 410 yards per game, roughly around 28 points. So the way this LA Chargers team's been playing over the past few weeks, they're inconsistent, can't rely on them, take the Patriots all day, every day, and twice on Sunday.
Well, yeah, hopefully just once this Sunday. And real quick, Mike, Panthers and Buccaneers.
All right, well, that's actually my value pick right here. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are favored by 2 points, and the point total set at 45.5. Now, again, it's all about flipping this money out here in Vegas, or if you bet online, the money line is set at +110. You put down $50. You have the option to win up to $200 just on a value pick. So I'm riding with Carolina Panthers, especially with Cam Newton, you know, facing controversy again with reporters. They've been on a two-game losing streak. So last time that happened, they played the Patriots, and they put a spanking on them. So I'm riding with the Carolina Panthers.
All right, good luck, my friend. We'll talk to you again soon.
3-0 next week. Bank it.
Boom. Yeah, well, all that I want this week, I'll tell you the one gift that I want. What can erase a Miami Dolphins embarrassment? If I can get a Miami Hurricanes win tomorrow, a Miami Heat win over the Celtics, Florida Panthers win over Detroit, if you can give me a trifecta this week after the pain and suffering that I went through last night. And I'll tell you, I talked about this at 6 o'clock. I stand by it. I think what bothered me most about getting shellacked 40-0 in Baltimore was, I don't care about it enough. And I live and die with my Dolphins. I've been a Dolphin fan my entire life. I was born into the Marino era in 1984. I love this team. I've lived in South Florida my entire life. The Dolphins have been a huge part of my life since day one. But they've been so wildly mediocre, so inconsistent. You've had painful moments. Maybe nothing as embarrassing as yesterday. 40-0. But if that happened to my Hurricanes right now, if that happened to my Inter Milan squad, like if they get blown out 7-0 against Verona this week, I think the surprise factor would ruin my day even more. Like, I wish the Dolphins could make me more upset. But somehow, with how inept that offense has been all year long, yesterday was not surprising enough. Tub guy texts in. He says, last good guard we had was Jamie Nails. I liked him. Best pulling guard. He was always in the second level blocking for Ricky Williams. Tough as nails. Perfect name for an offensive guard, Jamie Nails. Oh, man. Maybe Omar Kelly can figure out what's wrong with the Miami Dolphins. Omar Kelly from the South Florida Sun Sentinel. He's back from Baltimore. I'm sure he showered today to wash the stench of Miami Dolphins football off of his person. Omar's going to join us to talk about what Adam Gase had to say today and where the Dolphins go from here. The Alex Dono Show continues next here on WQAM.
This podcast was presented by David Lowe and Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.